Okay, so let's set the scene. You're probably in your car right now, right?
Yeah, gripping the steering wheel a little tighter than usual.
Totally. Or maybe you're on the train, headphones on, just trying to block everything out.
You got that coffee in the cup holder that you're just too nervous to actually drink.
Oh yeah, the caffeine jitters are real. You're heading to a Prometric center, or you're at home clearing your desk to log in for a proctored session.
The vibe is, it's game time. This is it.
Exactly. This is not the time for some, deep philosophical musing about the future of humanity.
Right, we are not doing the will AI replace us debate today.
No, this is a tactical download. We are here for one reason and one reason only, to get you across the finish line for the AB 731.
The AI transformation leader exam.
And we're going to do that by basically cramming a massive amount of material into this short drive.
Yeah, we've pulled from everything. Reddit threads from people who just took it.
The ones who passed, and maybe more importantly, the ones who failed.
Right. And the official Microsoft Cloud Adoption Framework, plus that, the huge responsible AI standard V2 document.
But okay, before we even start the engine here, we have to talk about the big
The
twist.
big one.
Honestly, if you don't get this part right, you might as well just turn the car around.
I could not agree more.
Bet.
This exam is not for developers.
Say it then louder for the people in the back who are like frantically flipping through Python flashcards.
It is not for developers. If you are sitting there right now, panic memorizing Python libraries, or I don't know, trying to remember JSON script formats,
Or like the syntax for some obscure API call.
stop. Just stop. You
Wait.
are in completely the wrong mindset. You're preparing for a plumbing exam, but you're trying to get an architect's license.
We saw this all over the Reddit boards. There was that one user, Steve Banville 2025.
Oh, yeah, I remember that post.
He said he spent 3 weeks memorizing Azure Machine Learning Studio code snippets. He walks in, sits down,
Oh,
and
nothing.
zero. Not a single question asked him to write a line of code.
That's just, it's a tragedy, but it's the perfect example of what not to do.
Right.
AB 731 is for business leaders.
Right.
You are the bridge. You're the person between the tech stack and the P&L.
The profit and loss.
Exactly.
Right.
It's testing your AI fluency, your business strategy, and your leadership. Can you make a decision? It's about leading change, not writing the code yourself.
So, if I'm you listening right now, I need to consciously shift gears,
Immediately.
take off the engineer hat, put on the CIO hat, or, the transformation director hat.
Precisely. The exam is 45 minutes. It's a sprint, and it is all scenario driven.
Right.
You're going to get dropped into a business problem, and they're going to ask you to solve it with Microsoft's AI tools. So our mission today is just to give you those mental models to answer those questions like instantly.
Okay, we have a lot of ground to cover. We're breaking this down, right? The strategist's mindset,
The tool smackdown, which is a huge point of confusion.
then the massive responsible AI section, and finally, implementation and governance. So, buckle up, let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Okay, section one, the strategist's mindset. When you sit down at that computer, who are you supposed to be?
You're the AI transformation leader. That is the persona.
Okay.
You're the person who gets that technology is totally useless if it doesn't solve a real business problem.
Yeah.
You have to align the AI investment with what the company's actually trying to do.
So you're not there to pick the coolest tech.
Never.
Yeah.
You're there to pick the tech that drives value, period.
And to do that, you need some kind of map. The source material from the Cloud Adoption Framework, it gives us this thing called the Microsoft AI Decision Tree.
And this is crucial. I mean, if you can just burn this flowchart into your brain, you can probably answer, I don't know, 30% of the questions right off the bat.
It's a mental flowchart.
Yeah, and it starts with a really simple question. What is the user trying to do?
Okay, let's role play this. I'm an exam question. I'm a CEO. I want my employees to be more productive. I want them to write emails faster. I want them to summarize meetings in Teams, analyze Excel data without learning, like complex formulas. What do I use?
Okay, that's the individual productivity path. The answer is Microsoft 365 Copilot.
Why?
Because it plugs directly into the apps they already use every day. Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Teams. It's a SaaS solution, software as a service.
So I just buy the license, assign it, and I'm done.
You're done. You aren't building a thing. You're just enabling a capability.
Got it. Okay, scenario two. I run a sales team. I don't just want general productivity. I need something that talks to my CRM, helps draft customer responses based on old deals, and, updates sales records automatically.
Okay, now you've moved into the role-specific branch on that tree.
Yeah.
You want Microsoft Copilot for sales.
And if it was a support team?
Then it would be Copilot for Service, or for the finance folks, Copilot for Finance. These are pre-built, they're domain-specific, they have skills that the general Copilot just doesn't have.
So if the exam question drops a hint about a specific job, like sales or service, I should immediately be looking for that specialized Copilot in the multiple-choice answers.
Yes. That's the signal. The generic M365 Copilot is great, but it doesn't know how to, you know, update a Salesforce record out of the box. The specialized ones do.
Okay, got it. Scenario three. This is where I think it gets a little trickier.
Mm-hmm.
I want to automate a specific business process. Let's say I'm in HR. I want a chatbot on our SharePoint site so employees can ask, how many vacation days do I have left?
Okay.
And the bot looks it up and tells them. But here's the kicker. I have no developers. It's just me and maybe Steve from IT who knows a little bit of logic.
The key phrase there is no developers.
Right.
The answer is Microsoft Copilot Studio. This is the low-code SaaS platform. It is designed for what they call makers. So business users, IT admins, people who want to build a bot visually.
So no code. I'm dragging and dropping boxes on a screen.
Exactly.
All right, last one. Final scenario. I'm a huge bank. I need to build a proprietary app that analyzes loan risks using a custom-trained model built on our own historical data. I need absolute control over security, architecture, all of it. And I have a team of data scientists ready to go.
That's the build path, mm-hmm. all the way. You need Azure AI Foundry.
Which used to be called AI Studio in some places.
Yeah, some of the older material might say Studio, but for the exam, think Foundry. This is the PaaS layer platform as a service. This is for the pro coders. This is the heavy machinery.
Okay, so just to recap the hierarchy, M365 Copilot for my general day-to-day work.
Yep.
Copilot Studio for when I need a custom bot, but I don't want to write code.
Right.
And Azure AI Foundry for the heavy-duty custom applications with a full coding team.
You got it. And that brings us back to the cloud adoption framework, the CAF. It structures your whole strategy into these four pillars.
And the exam will definitely ask which pillar a failing project is neglecting.
Oh, for sure. Let's run through them quick.
Go for it.
Pillar one is business strategy. Define the use case. What are you actually trying to achieve?
Efficiency, better experience, innovation.
Exactly. It must have measurable value. If you see a scenario that says, we want to use AI because it's cool, or our competitors are doing it.
That's the wrong answer.
That's the wrong answer. You need a KPI. A key performance indicator, value first.
No science projects.
No science projects. Pillar two, technology strategy.
That's the buy versus build we just talked about.
Right. Do you buy the sauce as tool, like Copilot? Or do you build a PaaS solution in Foundry? The exam is testing your judgment. Can you make the most cost-effective choice?
And Microsoft's preferences usually...
Usually buy... Before you build, don't reinvent the wheel if a Copilot already does what you need.
Makes sense. Pillar three.
Data strategy. This is the one that trips everyone up. You cannot have good AI without good data.
Right.
So this is all about governance, quality, lineage. If your data is a mess, your AI is just a really fast way to make really bad mistakes.
Garbage at the speed of light.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
And they will test you on it. You'll get a scenario where an AI is hallucinating or giving bad answers, and the root cause won't be the model.
It'll be the data feeding it.
It'll be that the data is garbage.
Yeah. And the last one, pillar four.
Responsible AI strategy. The guardrails. And honestly, we need to spend a big chunk of time on this because all the sources say it's absolutely critical.
You fail the responsible AI section, you fail the whole exam.
Period. End of story.
Okay. But before we get into all the safety stuff, let's zoom in on that tool smackdown. Section two, Copilot Studio versus Azure AI Foundry.
Yeah, this is a major point of confusion. The sources, especially that ESPC conference article, really break this down well.
They called Copilot Studio the front door and Foundry the engine room. I love that analogy.
It's perfect, right? Think of Copilot Studio as the interface. Mm-hmm. It's where the user types their question. It's in Teams. It's on a website. It's low code.
The drag and drop.
The drag and drop conversation flow. And the sources list this key feature for Studio, generative answers. We should unpack that.
Yeah, what is that exactly?
So in the old days, if you wanted a bot to answer policy questions, you had to manually type in every single possible question and every single answer.
The decision tree of doom.
The decision tree of doom, yes. It took forever.
Yeah.
With generative answers in Copilot Studio, you point the bot at your website or an internal SharePoint site. You just say, read this.
And that's it.
That's it. When a user asks a question, the bot reads your documents in real time, and it synthesizes an answer on the fly. It grounds the answer in your data.
So it's like giving the bot an open book test. It doesn't need to memorize the book. It just needs to know where the book is.
That is the perfect analogy. It's an open book test.
Okay, so if Studio is the front door and it can do all that, why do I ever need the engine room? Why would I bother with Azure AI Foundry?
Because sometimes the logic is just too complex for drag and drop.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need raw horsepower.
Okay.
Azure AI Foundry gives you direct access to the models.
Yeah.
You can pick from like over 1,600 models, GPT-4, Llama, Mistral, you name it. And you could do fine-tuning.
All right, stop there. Fine-tuning, that's a buzzword we hear constantly. How is that different from what Studio is doing?
Great question. So if Studio is an open book test, think of fine-tuning in Foundry as graduate school.
Okay, I like that.
When you fine-tune a model, you are actually retraining the AI's brain. You're changing the neural weights inside the model. You're teaching it a whole new specialized language, like legal contract jargon or medical coding.
So Studio is look it up, and Foundry is learn it forever.
Exactly. And because fine-tuning is basically brain surgery for the model, you need the engine room. You need Azure AI Foundry. It takes data scientists. It takes Python. It takes a ton of testing.
But the exam loves the better together story, right? It's not always one or the other.
Right. You can build an architecture where Copilot Studio is the front door.
Yeah.
It handles the chat with the user in Teams. But when the user asks a really hard question, one that needs that custom model,
Studio makes a call.
Studio calls an API that runs a complex script in Azure AI Foundry. Studio is the face. Foundry is the brain.
So if a question describes a solution that needs a friendly chat interface, but also needs really complex back-end processing or a fine-tuned model, the answer is probably both.
Correct. Use Studio for the UI and use Foundry for the deep cognitive work.
All right, let's shift gears. We've got our strategy, we picked our tools, now we have to make sure we don't accidentally, you know, destroy the company.
Yes. Section 3, responsible AI.
The must-pass section.
This is it. The source material is the Microsoft Responsible AI Standard V2. It is long, it is detailed, and as the AI transformation leader, you are the one on the hook for making sure it's followed.
And I want to be really clear here. The exam isn't testing your personal moral compass. It's not asking, what would a nice person do?
That is such a critical distinction. Do not answer based on vibes. Answer based on the standard. It's an engineering framework.
Okay, let's start with the 6 core principles. These are the pillars. Quick recall, what are they?
Okay. Fairness, reliability and safety, privacy and security, inclusiveness, transparency, and accountability.
Memorizing that list is step one. But the exam is scenario-based. They're not going to say, list the principles.
Right. They're going to give you a disaster and ask you which principle was violated or what you should have done to prevent it.
So let's deep dive on the ones that show up the most. Where do we start?
Let's start with accountability, specifically the impact assessment.
What's it that?
It's goal A1 in the standard. It says you must complete an impact assessment early.
How early?
At the very beginning, the vision and requirements stage. It is not a checkbox you tick the day before you launch. You have to document everything. What is the system? Who's going to use it? What are the potential risks?
The sources talk about sensitive uses and restricted uses. What is the difference?
It's a sensitive use is something that could affect a person's legal status or their access to credit, housing, employment.
Like an AI that screens resumes for a job.
Exactly. Or an AI that decides who gets a loan. If your system is a sensitive use, you have to report it to Microsoft's internal Office of Responsible AI and get extra review.
And a restricted use.
That's the real danger zone. A restricted use is something with a significant risk of harm. Think real-time biometric identification in public spaces.
Facial recognition for police, for example.
Right. In many cases, those just flat out off-limits, or they require massive, massive oversight.
So if a scenario says, we want to build a face recognition system to unlock office doors, my alarm bells should be ringing.
Big time.
Yeah.
That's a sensitive use case. You need an impact assessment, like yesterday.
Let's jump to transparency. The T goals.
The big one there is T2, transparency notes. Some people call them system cards.
So this is like the nutrition label for the AI?
That's a perfect way to think of it. It's a document that explains not just what the system can do, but also what it can't do. It has to list the limitations.
For example.
This bot can answer HR questions, but it cannot give legal advice. It is accurate 95% of the time, uh-huh. That kind of thing.
And T3 is disclosure.
Yeah, this is non-negotiable. Users must know they are talking to an AI.
So no tricking the user.
No tricking the user. If your customer service bot sounds perfectly human, the standard requires it to say, I'm an AI assistant, or have some clear visual indicator.
Okay, let's go deep on fairness. This one feels huge.
It is. The sources break it down into quality of service harms and allocative harms.
That sounds academic. Make it practical.
Okay. Quality of services. Does the system work as well for everyone? For instance, your voice recognition works perfectly for a standard American accent, but it fails half the time for a heavy Scottish accent.
So one group is getting a worse product.
Right. It's a quality of service failure. It's annoying, but maybe not life-altering.
But allocative harm is?
Allocative harm is life-altering. That's when the system denies someone an opportunity or a resource. If your AI loan officer approves loans for men more often than for women with the exact same financial profile.
That's allocative harm.
That's allocative harm. It's allocating resources unfairly, and it's a massive, massive problem.
So if the exam asks how to test for this kind of bias, what am I looking for in the answers?
You are looking for the tools, specifically FairLearn and Interpret ML.
And what do they do?
They're toolkits that plug into Azure. FairLearn, for example, will literally show you a graph. Here's the accuracy for group A, and here's the accuracy for group B. If there's a gap, you found a fairness issue.
So the answer isn't a vague promise to be fair.
No. The answer is, we will run FairLearn, quantify the disparity, and use the tool's mitigation techniques. It's about process and tooling.
Okay, let's move to reliability and safety. The RS goals.
The key concept here is red teaming.
Adversarial testing.
Yep. You hire people or use an automated system to actively try to break your bot. You want them to try to make it say awful things or reveal confidential data or give dangerous instructions. And you have to do this before you release it.
And what if something goes wrong after release?
That's requirement RS 2.3.
Mm.
You must have rollback plans, a kill switch.
Okay.
The exam might give you a scenario where a bot starts, you know, swearing at customers.
Mm.
As a leader, your first thought has to be, how fast can we turn it off? Do we have a fallback process?
So it's not enough to say, we'll fix it. You need a documented plan.
Exactly.
Okay, let's hit section 4. Implementation, adoption, and governance. We've got the strategy, the tools, the safety checks. How do we actually get people to use this stuff?
The sources are so clear on this. The technology is the easy part. The people.
Mm-hmm.
The people are the hard part.
The people problem.
It's real. You have fear of job loss. You have a lack of skills. You have cultural resistance. I've done it this way for 20 years. Why should I trust a robot? The exam will ask how you overcome that.
And the wrong answer is send a mandatory email from the CEO.
The worst answer fails every time. The recommended strategy is the AI Champion Program.
What's that?
You find the enthusiasts in the business units, the people who are excited. You train them first, and they become peer trainers for their own teams.
So it scales from the bottom up.
It's peer-to-peer. Hey, Steve from accounting uses this to save 4 hours a week. Is so much more powerful than the CIO says you have to use this.
Creates social proof. Okay, let's talk about the big governance nightmare, the data leak.
Microsoft Purview. That is the answer.
Right, the classic scenario. The summer intern asks Copilot how much the CEO makes, and Copilot just tells them. How does that happen?
It happens because Copilot respects permissions. If that salary document is on a SharePoint site that's open to the whole organization, and the intern technically has read access.
Copilot is just doing its job.
It's not hacking. It's just showing the intern what they already have permission to see.
Yeah.
The problem isn't Copilot.
The problem is the data.
The problem is the data. So you use Microsoft Purview to apply sensitivity labels. You mark that document confidential executives only. Once that label is on the file, Copilot sees it and automatically hides it from the intern.
So on the exam, if the problem is data leakage from Copilot, the solution involves Purview and sensitivity labels.
100%.
Let's touch on cost management really quick. This is a business leader exam.
Yes. You have to know the billing models. Microsoft 365 Copilot is license-based, flat fee, per user, per month. It's predictable.
And Azure AI Foundry.
That's consumption-based. You pay for what you use. The compute, the storage, the tokens. If your custom app goes viral, your costs go up.
And if no one uses it?
Your costs are low. One is a predictable operating expense. The other is a variable cost. You have to know the difference.
Okay. We are making great time. Let's do a rapid-fire scenario practice. Just like the exam. I'll throw a situation at you. You tell me the tool and the why.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Scenario A, retail company. Wants a chatbot on their public website for return policy questions. They have the policy in a PDF. They have zero developers.
Copilot Studio. Why? Public website means you need a bot. Zero developers means low code. And the PDF of policy means you use the generative answers feature. Easy.
Perfect. Scenario B, a bank. Analyzing loan applications. They need to fine-tune a model on sensitive historical data, keep all data inside their own secure network, and have a perfect audit trail of every prompt.
Azure AI Foundry, all day long. Fine-tuning is a pro code feature. Network isolation and heavy compliance controls push you straight into the pious world of Azure.
Scenario C, a sales team. They want to draft emails faster based on past conversations in Outlook and their CRM, and they want to do it right there inside Outlook.
That's Microsoft 365 Copilot for Sales. The key is within Outlook. It's a role-specific need, and it brings the AI into their existing workflow.
Scenario D. You've launched a model. You find out it's performing poorly for non-native English speakers. It misunderstands them way more often than native speakers.
Okay, that's a fairness issue, specifically quality of service. The action is to conduct a fairness assessment. You'd use tools like Fairlearn to measure the error rate disparity and then work to fix it.
All right, scenario E. You're the AI leader. You want to launch a new tool, but you're worried your employees won't have the skills or that they'll just ignore it.
That is an adoption strategy problem. You need to set up an AI champions program to build grassroots support and peer learning. You do not just deploy and hope.
Last one. A user asks your customer service bot, how do I build a bomb?
Whoa. Okay. That is a content safety issue. In Azure AI Foundry, you would configure the content safety filters to block that prompt immediately. That falls under the safety pillar of responsible AI.
Okay. We have covered a massive amount of ground. From high-level strategy to the nitty-gritty of tools and compliance.
If you take one thing away from all this, just one thing, let it be this. The exam wants to know if you can think like a leader.
What does that mean in the final moments before you click start?
It means when you read a question, don't get bogged down in the technical specs. Don't worry about GPU models or token costs unless the question is specifically about budget.
You focus on
what is the value? Is it safe? And is it the right strategy?
Value, safety, strategy.
Those three things. And remember that no code rule. If an answer choice involves writing a Python script to solve a simple HR problem, it is almost certainly the wrong answer.
They want you to use the platform.
Use the platform. Use the low-code tools first. Only go to code when you absolutely have to. And please don't forget the responsible AI standard. It's not fluff.
It's a real framework.
It's a rigorous framework. Know the difference between sensitive and restricted uses. Know that impact assessments happen early. No transparency is mandatory.
And this all changes so fast.
Incredibly fast. The standard itself requires you to review your systems annually. So this test, it's really just the beginning of the governance journey. You're signing up to be a steward of this technology.
That's a powerful thought to end on. You aren't just passing an exam. You're qualifying yourself to guide your company through, one of the biggest tech shifts in history.
No pressure.
Little pressure is good. It keeps you sharp.
It really does.
So take a deep breath. Drink that coffee now. You've got this. You have the knowledge. You know the tools. You understand the responsibility.
Right, so ready.
Go crush the AB 731. We'll see you on the other side of the transformation. Ready.